So let's give Brother Larry Myers a warm Church on the Rock welcome.
Thank you, Pastor. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now relax. Good congregation today. One of three reasons you're here. Either you really love God and you love your church. That could be one reason you're here. Or you really don't like your pastor and he's gone, so you're coming while he's gone. Or you knew that I was coming and you really wanted to hear me. I think it's the first reason. You love God and you love your church. Amen. And I like that reason. Good to be here with you. I'm in a kind of little strait between two hard places. I love to preach the Word of God. I love to challenge God's people. I need challenging. And so I like to hear the Word of God that will challenge me, cause me to bless God, encourage me. But Pastor called me and he said he was going to be gone. And he said, can you come and take this service this Sunday? I said, Pastor, that's the only Sunday I have this year that I can be there. Boom, that was the right Sunday. He said, tell them what you do. Now that's the hard part. Tell you what I do. I like to preach the Word of God. I like to encourage people. But I know I have to tell you what I do. So I'm going to try to weave the two together. If you can take a couple of hours, I'm going to weave the two together. I'm going to preach and I'm going to tell you what I do. Reason that I do not and I can't and never have taken an entire service to tell you what I do. I hate egos. I do. I just do not believe there is any place with God for somebody's ego. If there's going to be any ego, let it be God. All the honor, all the glory, all the praise, everything be to our Lord. Because we cannot move without God's grace. We cannot. We eat, we breathe, we walk, we are a being only because of the grace and the mercy of God. And so when you begin to tuck your thumbs under your lapels and think you're somebody, think about it. If God shuts his mercy off, his grace off, you'd be struggling to survive about 60 seconds. And so I hate to spend a lot of time talking about what I'm doing because whatever I've done, it's only because of he who flows through me to do it.
That's right.
But still yet, Pastor will be mad at me if I don't. That doesn't bother me too much because he's not here today. See that? I'm going to tell you a little bit about that in a little while. When you hear me today, I want you to understand everything that I do in Mexico, Quitman has a little part of that work. You think about that. Of all the churches that we build, of all that we do and have done for all of these years, every trip into Mexico, Quitman has a little part of that particular trip or particular church. Apologize for Mary Lou not being able to be with us this morning. We just came back Wednesday night from a long extended stay in Mexico. Built two churches while we were there. She was real tired, and so she says, forgive her. And she wasn't sure that the crappie would be running or not, so she wasn't going to waste a Sunday coming down here and not getting crappie. Now, that has nothing to do with the sermon. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles. How many has a Bible today? All right. What I'm going to tell you is very important. And so I want you to take some notes, or at least in your Bibles, I want you to read some scripture with me. First, let us go to Revelation chapter 4. And read a few verses of scripture. I have an awesome respect for my Lord. I've never been one to think that I can high-five God. Say, hey, buddy, how are you? I never call him daddy. I call him my Lord, my Savior, my Redeemer. And I have an awesome respect for who he is. John had just had a tremendous revelation of Jesus Christ on the Isle of Patmos. John said, I heard a voice behind me. And I turned and I beheld my Lord. Said his face, his head, and his hair were as white as snow. Eyes were like flames of fire. Dressed in a long white flowing garment. And his feet looked like bronze as it burned in the oven. That happened to be Jesus' best friend that saw him while he was on the earth. It was John, the one who leaned over on the breast of Jesus at the Last Supper, the only one that was not martyred for the cause of Christ. Christ loved that man, tremendously loved John. And so you would think that John, being exiled on the Isle of Patmos, when he saw Jesus, you would think he would run up there and just say, hey, give me five. But the Bible says that he fell on his face at the feet of Jesus as one dead. And the Bible said, and Jesus put his right hand on John and said, be not afraid. Now let us read in verse 1 of chapter 4. After these things I looked, and behold, a door was standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking to me, said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. Think of this. And he who was sitting was like a jasper stone, a sardis in appearance, and there was a rainbow or a halo around the throne, like an emerald in appearance. And around the throne there were 24 thrones. And upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments and golden crowns upon their head. I looked up the word crown, and everywhere that a crown is mentioned in the New Testament, it simply means it's a reward of someone's achievement. The crown like this, it looks like this. It's a wreath. It's what it is. Not the crown that you would think of, a big crown. It's a wreath. All it means is your achievements in life. 24 elders sitting on the throne. They say that they represent the 12 patriarchs and the 12 apostles. If that be so, imagine the achievements of these men. What they did for the kingdom of God. The 12 tribes of Israel. The 12 apostles. All of them died a martyr's death except one. So you think of all of the achievements of these men, and it's sitting upon their head, and they're sitting on these thrones. Let's go further down and read in verse 10. The 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on a throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy art thou, O Lord our God, to receive honor and glory and power, for thou didst create all things, and because of thy will they existed and were created." Before I minister, I want to read two more verses of Scripture. If you'll turn to 2 Timothy 4 and 8. Very important that you get the foundation. 2 Timothy 4 and 8. Paul is saying to Timothy, "I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith." Paul is saying what God called me to do, I've done it. I've kept the faith. I've fought the fight. I've finished my course. Verse 8, "In the future there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, not only to me, but also to all who love his appearing." So what I'm trying to say to you, you have a crown that you're going to receive when the Lord returns. All that you have done for God, all that you have done for the kingdom of God, all that you have done in Quitman or wherever you come from or wherever you will go, all that you have done for the kingdom of God will be remembered on that day. And there will be a gold crown, a wreath like this, that will be placed upon your head. You'll join 24 elders, and you will have crowns like their crowns. I want you to go with me one more to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. 1 Peter 5 and 4. Now, Peter is talking to the associate pastors of Quitman, talking to the pastor, to the elders, to the deacons, to Sunday school teachers. And he said in verse 2, "Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording over those allotted in your charge, but providing an example to the flock." This is what God is encouraging you to work in the kingdom of God. "And when," verse 4, "the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory for all that you have done for the kingdom of God." Now let me preach a little bit. That's just the foundation. How many of you here in your life, you need the hand of God to rest upon you? Amen? Amen. Hurting, sickness, family problems, job, direction, children, mom, dad, name it. Probably every one of those things are represented here. And you desperately need God. As God, as Christ laid his hand upon John and said to John, "Be not afraid." You need the hand of our Lord to be laid upon you today and hear him say, "Be not afraid." that if you need the Lord's hand to rest upon you, what moves the heart of God that will move the hand of God? Well, you can keep your check in your pocket, because it will not be $1,000. I can promise you that. You can't buy the hand of God in any way. So what really moves the heart of God that will move the hand of God to meet your need? You see it all over the country. 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. If my people, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven the heart of God. Then will I forgive their sins and heal their land. To put it very simple, if you need the hand of God to rest upon you, fall on your face before his feet. And that moves the heart of God. And that moves the hand of God. Does that make sense? Humble yourself at the feet of Christ. If you're mayor of the city, it doesn't matter. Come down and humble yourself at the feet of Christ. If you're president of your organization, come down. Humble yourself at the feet of Christ. Nothing moves the heart of God like seeing someone bow before his feet and acknowledge him as the Creator, the Lord, the King, Lord of Lords, Kings of Kings. If you want to move God, be willing to bow to his feet. And that'll move the heart, that will move the hand. There's forgiveness at the feet of Christ. You know, I would imagine that probably somebody's got sin in your life right here. If not, I want to be a member of this church. I would imagine some of you are pretty rotten. You just hide. I mean, I don't need to go there. You know what I'm talking about. There's not one of you worthy of standing in the presence of the Creator of the universe. John wasn't even worthy. He fell on his face before him. But there is forgiveness. In all of your sins, it doesn't matter how black, how dark, how many, how long, how deep, how high, it doesn't matter what you have done or are doing today, there is forgiveness at the feet of Christ. If you're man enough to fall on your face before God, he's man enough to wash every sin away and make you as clean and white as snow. Bible says in Luke 7, you don't have to turn to it. I'd have to preach 3 hours if you did that. Luke 7. Jesus is invited into the house of a Pharisee to have lunch. So he goes into the Pharisee's house, and leaned back, their custom in those days, at the table. Woman saw him go in, and she followed him in and stood behind him. And she's not the type of a woman that I would want standing behind me unless I was totally alone, because somebody would be putting it on Facebook, they'd be taking that picture. She was a very immoral woman, a very immoral woman. So immoral that the Pharisee said, if you knew who this woman was, you wouldn't have anything to do with her. She needed something tremendous. So she didn't come in and just high-five Jesus and say, hey, buddy. Bible says she stood behind him and wept. and tears flowing down from her eyes, wet his feet. And then she bows down and takes the long hair and wipes the feet of Jesus. And then took a very expensive perfume and bathed and anointed the feet of Jesus. A rotten, black, immoral woman. But she fell at the feet of the Savior. The Pharisee began to complain, and Jesus said, I came in. You didn't give me any water to wash my face. You didn't wash my feet. This woman has not ceased to bathe, perfume, and dry my feet. And he turned to the woman and he said, your sins are forgiven. Your faith made you whole. Forgiveness at the feet of Jesus. Healing at the feet of Jesus. Jairus, ruler of the synagogue, comes running up to Jesus. No, I'm sorry. He didn't say, hey, dad, hey, pal, how you doing, buddy? Bible said he fell at the feet of Jesus. And he said, Jesus, one little daughter, 12 years old, she's dying. You want God to touch you? You need his hand on your life like Jairus needed it? Find your way to his feet. Fall on your face before his feet. That'll move the heart of God, which will move the hand of God. And the hand of God laid on that little 12-year-old daughter of Jairus, brought her back to life. Healing at the feet of Jesus. Worship at the feet of Jesus. We like to stand. We like to clap our hand. We like to dance. We like to do all that. That's good. But if you really want real, true worship, fall on your face at his feet. Mary, after the raising of her brother, Lazarus, you remember God, Christ raised him from the dead? Later, 6 days later, comes back. And Martha's in there busy in the kitchen, and Mary's at the feet of Jesus, anointed him with a very expensive perfume, wiped his feet with her hair. She was loving our Lord. There's worship. There is a place to give thanks. You remember Jesus healed 10 lepers. One came back. He didn't high-five the Lord and say, hey, thank you for healing me. Bible said he fell at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus said, I thought there was 10. He said, there was. Jesus said, only one came back, fell at his feet, and thanked him for healing. So you can tell your pastor, I'm going to tell you what I do in Mexico, but I had to preach a little bit first. Let's go back to the crown. If the crown, as most all scholars believe, if that is the reward for what you do for the kingdom of God, then you tell me, what will your crown be? For what purpose? What do you do for God? What are you doing for the kingdom of God? Very important. If the crown of gold is for what you have achieved in life, what will I be crowned for? You see, I know what I've done, and I know how I've done it. And so I don't take any honor, any glory, any credit for it. But will I be crowned? I look good, huh? Will I be crowned as a builder? For all the building that I have done in 54 years of ministry, what I have done physically with my hands, will that be a part of my crown, a leaf of my crown. I've been thanked so many times from the individuals. I built a church just a few months ago. Gave the man money to buy the paint, and I said, I'll be back, take a picture of the church. A big, nice, beautiful church, seats about 400 people. Auditorium much larger than this. I said, I'll be back tomorrow, and I'll take a picture. I want it painted. Well, I came back. Nobody that loud a color in here. Yeah, it is. Wait over here on the end. Brother, would you stand up right here on this end with the orange shirt? With the orange shirt. I came back. That's the color that whole big building was. It was orange.
Great color.
And so when I go in, this is what the pastor said to me. He said, I want to thank you for the walls. I want to thank you for the roof. I want to thank you for the pews. I want to thank you for the paint. Will my building of that church be a leaf in my crown? I built a church last year. An old man donated a little piece of property, just big enough to put a little church on. And the reason that he did that was because I had built a church a year earlier, and it was 4 hours walk from his little village to where I had built that last church. Old man, 4 hours walk, 3 hours in service. I don't know how we're going to do this in an hour and a half. 3 hours in church and 4 hours. Now, I don't have time to listen to your griping and grumbling and complaining when you get in your car and you drive 10 minutes here and... We built that church, we painted it, we built the pews, and I said, everyone, lay your hands on the wall, we're going to give it to God. And as we began to pray, this old gentleman cried like a little bitty baby, had his hand on a building, on the property that he had given, and he said, I now have a church. No more will he walk 8 hours, four one way, four the next way. Will my crown be because I built that man a church and spared him the agony of an 8-hour walk a day? Will it be because I'm a builder? I built a church for a pastor way up on the hills in the state of Chiapas. When we were finishing it up, he was standing there in front of the church. I was over to the side. He was crying. Big tears running down his face. And I thought, boy, he appreciates that church. And so I go over there and I gently put my arms around his shoulders and I said, it's a beautiful building, isn't it? He said, that's not why I'm crying. I said, why? He said, because now I know we are not alone. A little bit of Quitman was with me that day. Quitman put some fuel in my vehicle that let me drive to the top of that mountain to build that church. Quitman, in your monthly support, enabled me to buy a few sacks of cement and a few blocks and put it together. Quitman is in every part of everything that I do in Mexico. You're a part of it. And so as I put my arms around that man, and he said, now I know we're not alone. Quitman is with us. You understand that? Will that be one of the leaves in my crown? I hate egos, but I'm fixing to make a statement that it's going to be hard for you to believe. You start with the Texas border and drive to the Belize border. And I have built churches from one end of Mexico to the other. This week, They're putting the roof on the seventh church that we have built this year. We're only halfway into the year. That's not counting what my compadre, Russell Linscombe, helps me build. He's built a number of them. If you were to put your finger on the Gulf of Mexico, wipe it all the way across to the Pacific Ocean, I have built churches from border, from ocean to ocean, from border to border. Will that be my crown? All the multitudes of churches that I built in all those years? Would they put a crown on my head and said, this is because you built for the kingdom of God? Or will it be for humanitarian reasons? Last Monday, I was in an orphanage. 110 little kids. Don't have a mom and dads come flocking around me, holding on to my leg, trying to get some love, flocking around me, little children, grabbing my arms, my hands. Mary Lou was with me. My little granddaughter was with me. Little granddaughter born in the U.S., born with a good dad, born with a grandfather that would do anything for her. These little kids were left on the streets when they were born, many of them, molested, hurt. Every year, many times, I go by, I buy food, I buy clothing, I buy shoes. December, we will take them all to huge stores in the city of Tuxtla, and we will let them pick out whatever they want. Will my crown be because of my humanitarian side, caring for the poor, caring for the needy? Will it be for the medical ministry that we began a number of years ago and established? Now, do not think that I have an ego. I did this because your pastor said, tell them what we do. Everything that I do has to come from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Without him, it is zero, absolutely nothing. I built a hospital near Acapulco. And we've seen more than 150,000 patients free of charge. Major surgeries, little kids with cleft palates, doing everything except open heart and brain surgery in a hospital with two surgical suites in it. I, with a pick and shovel, laid the foundation for that building. Now, will my crown be because of what I've done to help the sick? Over on the other side of Mexico, we built another clinic. We treated more than 50,000 patients in that clinic, free of charge, medicine and all, taken care of. On top of that, we have a doctor that we send every week back into the mountains where people can't come down to the clinic just to look for the sick, to help the sick, to tend to the needs of the sick. Will that be my crown? When I get to glory, you see where I'm going with this message? I'm going to have somebody on each side of me to help hold my crown up. Will it be because of the spiritual work that I have done for the country of Mexico? A young man came up to me a number of years ago, and he said to me, thank you for bringing us God. Thank you for bringing us God. Oh, if you only knew, nobody brings God God, just accompanied God and told him about the Lord that was already before me that was there. In April of last year, 22 years ago, I went into the state of Chiapas. I pitched my tent, one-man tent, on the side of a mountain. That's all there was there. Just me and the rain. And I'm sure you folk are highfalutin, don't have any idea what a sift is, but my mama used to take the flour and put it and shake it like that, you know, and the good flour comes out and that junk stayed in your sift and then she threw it out. You know what that is, don't you? You country folk. Well, my tent was like that sift. I had a little 4-inch foam rubber mattress that I would sleep on. And it'd get up, it'd weigh, when I put it in there dry, it weighed about 4 or 5 pounds. When I took it out wet, it weighed about 400 pounds. Soaking, sopping wet. Alone, April last year, we had more than 5,000 Indians who came down out of the mountains who did not know Christ when I slept in that one-man tent, came down, and we had a celebration for 2 days, killed 7 bulls, and bought about 7,000 pounds of tortillas. Will my crown be for the ones that I have won to the Lord in my years of ministry? Paul said in Philippians 4, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and my crown. Paul said, you are my crown, those that he had won to the Lord. Paul said in Thessalonians, who is our hope, our joy, our crown? It is you in the presence of our Lord at his coming. I told you a little bit about what I do. But I'm going to tell you the most glorious thing of all. The scripture says the most humbling part of it all is when the elders and you and I, for whatever we've done, take that crown off and walk over to the one, the only one worthy, and we lay it down at his feet. We said to him, you're the only one worthy of the crown. I can't wear it. It doesn't fit. It doesn't feel right. I'm not worthy to wear it. What I did was because you did it through me. I didn't do anything. And so I say this as I close this morning. Nothing that I've done I can take credit for. Not 1 ounce of time. Not one moment that I suffered, not one moment that I struggled, not one moment when they thanked me for whatever I had done, nothing. It was all because of him. And so if he puts a crown on my head, how can I look up and say, hey, thank you? No, I'm going to take it off and I'm going to lay it at his feet and said, it's only because of you. Now, my challenge is this. Pastor, would you come? My challenge is this. Think seriously. What are you going to lay at his feet? You don't want to tell people about the Lord. You don't want to witness. You don't want to go out and spread the word. You don't have time to work in children's church. You don't want to fool those naughty little old kids. You're not going to teach a Sunday school class because somebody else can do it. And you're not going to give your tithe because the church makes too much money as it is. And so you're just going to go on day after day like you've been going on day after day. Now you think about this. When we're gathered before our Lord and all the men, women, boys and girls who have loved his appearing are going to take their crown and lay it before his feet, what are you going to lay? I'll guarantee you the man who had a great crop, and he says, I'm going to build bigger barns, and then say to my soul, just relax and enjoy it. I guarantee you he will not have a crown for his great ability to farm the land. The Bible said, the Lord said, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. What about the man who fared sumptuously every day? Bible said, dressed in purple, Lazarus lay at the gate, desiring only the crumbs that fell from his table. You think his crown will be because of his wealth, because of the way he dressed, because of the food that he ate? I would rather think if he had gotten up from the table, walked out, and gave a sandwich to Lazarus, that would have produced a bigger crown than all that he accomplished in the natural. So my question again, as Pastor takes this place, what are you going to lay? Maybe you want to say, God, forgive me. Forgive me for a lazy, slothful lifestyle where I've only been concerned about myself. And give me another opportunity to do something meaningful for the kingdom of God. Will you stand with me? I will be happy to pray with anyone. If you want to come up and say, Brother Larry, I've really wasted my life on myself. How sad it must be to come to the end of your life and realize you wasted it all on just yourself. You said there's no needs. I beg the difference. There are people suffering out here in this heat wave. Don't have an air conditioner. A little fan would be a lot of help. Or even someone coming by. Jesus said, if a cup of water in my name, I'll bless you for it. See, there's a lot that you can do for your crown that you're going to give to him.